Hello everyone, my name is Rowan Wong. I'm glad to present our work, MetaSymploit, they win defense against script-based attacks with security-enhanced symbolic analysis. This work is done by me, my advisors, Dr. Penning, Dr. Tao Xie, and my colleague, Quan Chen. And today, more and more security tools are getting popular. And on one side, these tools are designed for penetration testing purposes. On the other side, as many tools are publicly available, they can be used by real attackers. And among these tools, script-based attack framework is a new type of exploit tools, which is now one of the attacker's favorites. And these attack scripts, frameworks are written in scripting language such as Ruby or Python because they are easy to use with many APIs. And these frameworks also run on the attacker side, generate specific attack payloads to exploit various vulnerabilities. And many attack frameworks are also all-in-one framework with built-in components providing rich APIs for various attack purposes. And because of the high productivity of using scripting languages and built-in components of these frameworks, once a zero-day vulnerability is discovered, attackers can quickly develop and deploy new attacks. So this actually makes the cost of attack much lower than the cost of defense because it usually takes time for vendors to develop and apply security patches. And sectools.org lists 11 most popular exploit tools. 8 of them are script-based attack framework written by Ruby or Python. And one famous example is Metasploit. It is a Ruby-based penetration framework. It has a free version open sourced in GitHub. It has more than 1,000 attack scripts exploiting all kinds of vulnerabilities. And it targets all popular operating systems, including Windows, Linux, and some industrial control systems. And it is and typically, one Metasploit attack script can generate different attack payloads, exploiting different versions of the vulnerable target. And it is also very ScriptKitty bot friendly. It provides simple command for automatic attack. So this is the general workflow of how Metasploit works. So when an attack script is loaded into Metasploit, it first probes the vulnerable target by using some probing techniques. And based on the result, the probing result, it will generate an attack payload on the fly and then send the payload to the target to trigger the vulnerability. Once the vulnerability is triggered, the shellcode will be executed and the target is compromised. So this is our running example, the same one in our paper. And the code snippet is taken from a real Metasploit attack script. We simplified it for easy presentation. And the exploit method is the main method of an attack script. It tries to probe the version of the target first, and then based on the version, it will direct to the corresponding branch to compose an attack payload. Here, the prep-arc5 is a payload composing method. Inside this method, we can see it calls several APIs to compose the payload. It calls a shellcode API to include the shellcode into the payload. It also calls a random value generator to generate some random paddings. And also called getTargetReturn, this API, to get an exploitable return address in a target that can be used to jump to the shellcode. So usually, an attack script keeps a list of targets with exploitable return addresses, which is parsed by this API. And we omitted the list here, but it is included in the script. And we can see that an attack payload is composed with both constant and dynamic values. Some constant values, such as the return address, are usually vulnerability specific. These values cannot be changed. If changed, the vulnerability may not be triggered. So we can use these values to identify as patterns to identify the payload. And of course, there are a lot of dynamic values, such as the random padding and the shellcode. So note that here we treat shellcode as a dynamic value because attackers can freely choose what kind of shellcode to execute after the vulnerability is triggered. And shellcode can also be further obfuscated, so which may not have fixed the pattern in it. So once the payload is composed, it will be sent through some output API to the target, and then the target to trigger the vulnerability, and then the target will be compromised. Some backdoor channel will be created. And originally, Metasploit is designed only for penetration testing purposes with some proof of concept scripts. However, as it becomes more and more powerful, now the public is worrying about whether it will become a tool or a weapon used by real malicious attackers. And actually, we identified that It was reported that ConfigureWarm uses Metasploit payload to spread. And recently, there are a bunch of kind of Java zero-day vulnerability disclosed. And now Metasploit has almost the same speed as some underground tool like the Black Hole Exploit Kit to include these new exploits. So our motivation is that we need an effective defense against these attack scripts. We should catch up the release speed of those new attack scripts, and we also should provide quick defense using existing IDS. And we also need to prevent these public exploit resources from being misused by attackers. So we propose Metasimploit. It is the first system of fast attack script analysis with automatic IDS signature generation. We leverage symbolic execution, and we enhance it with several security features designed for attack scripts. With that, Metasimploit achieves several features. First, it doesn't require vulnerable applications or testing environments when analyzing attack scripts. We achieve this by treating environment-dependent values in the scripts as symbolic values. This feature largely reduces the time and cost for analysis. And second, Metasimploit can expose attack behaviors of each step under different attack conditions. We achieve this by exploring different execution paths using a symbolic execution with fine-grained execution tracing of attack behaviors and attack conditions. And third, Metasploit can automatically generate IDS signatures just in minutes by extracting the patterns from these attack payloads. We use symbolic values to represent dynamic payload contents while keeping those a constant contents. By doing so, we can easily extract the constant patterns from this payload and identify the payload without requiring a large number of payload samples. So with this, once a new attack script is released and captured by security vendors, we can immediately analyze it and generate signatures so that we can provide day one defense against these new scripts. So this is the architecture of Metasimploit. We have two major parts, the symbolic execution layer and the signature generator. The symbolic execution layer is built based on the attack framework and the language interpreter. It reuses the framework's attack launching platform while extending it to support symbolic execution of the script. It can capture the attack behaviors and attack payloads. And note that here in our assumption, we assume that both the attack framework and attack scripts are available from either public or underground hacking communities. For example, we have the source code of Metasploit, and there are also some leaked source code of some underground tools. So after the symbolic execution is done, the second part, a signature generator, will take the attack payloads and attack behaviors as input, and it will extract the constant patterns from the payload and also derive the semantics of those patterns from the attack behaviors to show the context meaning of these patterns. And then combine both to generate the final signatures. And in the symbolic execution layer, we have three specific techniques. Symbolic API extension is to symbolize APIs to return symbolic values to represent the external environment inputs, environment values, and dynamic payload contents, so that we don't need to set up real environment or install vulnerable applications for analysis. And we can also easily, clearly distinguish dynamic payload contents from constant payload contents. And behavior and constraint logging is to capture fine-grained attack behaviors and conditions. For attack behaviors, we capture the call sequence of behavioral APIs, which is those APIs used to interact with the target or the ones used to compose the payload. For attack conditions, we focus on the branch constraints that are related to those environment or target, because these constraints represent the different environment states usually lead to different execution paths in the script and may cause different behaviors. So we want to know what attack condition caused the corresponding attack behavior and the corresponding payload. So after the payload is fully composed, it will be sent through some output API to the target. So we hook those output API to capture the complete contents of an attack payload and later for analysis. So go back to our example. With our symbolic execution layer, the APIs such as the probe version and the shellcode and random alphabet are symbolized. Instead of performing real probing or return real values, these symbolized APIs will return symbolic values with embedded labels showing their semantics. And actually, the probe version, shellcode, and getTargetReturn are also behavioral APIs because probe version indicates the probing behavior, and the shellcode and getTargetReturn shows a typical composing process of a Stack Overflow style payload. And here, the version equals 5 branch constraint indicates that this path and this payload is only for the condition when the version of the target is 5. And after the payload is fully composed, the hooked API here, the socket.put, will capture the complete contents of this payload. And after the symbolic execution, our signature generator will parse the payload and the behavior log to generate signatures. So we parse the payload based on the network protocol format. For example, if it is an HTTP packet, we parse the header and body. And we also parse both the symbolic and concrete patterns to extract constant patterns, such as the bytes, constant bytes, length, or offset. For symbolic values, although their content is unknown, but if they have constant length, we should extract the length as a constant pattern. And we, of course, we need to refine those patterns. We filter, oh, what's this? This is interesting. Yeah, so, and we also parse those symbolic and concrete contents to extract those constant patterns. And for symbolic values, although their contents are kind of, you know, unknown, we can have some, if they have constant length, we extract them as constant patterns. We also need to refine those patterns. We filter out those benign or trivial patterns, such as some standard protocol required bytes, to prevent them causing some false positives. And we also keep hashes of each extracted pattern to avoid duplicates. And we also need to derive the context, the semantic context, to describe these patterns by analyzing those attack behaviors and the constraint. So the call sequence of the behavioral APIs shows the attack steps of launching this attack. And we also end all attack constraint together to describe the overall attack condition for this pattern. And go back to the example. And here, our hooked API captured the complete payload contents, which contains both symbolic values and concrete values. The symbolic ones are the red labels, and the concrete ones are the green ones. And this is the snort rule that we generate based on this payload. And we can see, therefore, the green constant bytes, they can be directly translated into the content byte pattern in snort rule. And we also include a more specific, more complete PCRE regex pattern to include a random padding with fixed length so that we can precisely match the entire payload. And we also include those pattern context information in the message of this rule, which include those target version as the attack condition. And also we include some probing behaviors and how this Stack Overflow style payload is composed using some kind of behavior APIs. So in terms of implementation, we did make a lot of effort to make Metasymploit as a practical tool targeting Metasploit using snort rules. And we integrate Metasymploit into Metasploit console as a simple command for analysis to analyze attack scripts. And particularly, we develop a lightweight symbolic execution engine for Ruby. And as Ruby has multiple versions and multiple interpreters, modifying a specific Ruby interpreter to develop symbolic execution is not very scalable. So we designed our engine as a loadable package running on existing unmodified Ruby interpreters. And our engine is compatible with all Ruby versions. And this design also better working with our symbolic execution layer in this kind of style. And in the paper, we describe the details of how we leverage three Ruby language features, such as the debug tracing and context binding and method overriding to enable the symbolic execution. You can review the paper for more details. And our current prototype is based on Metasploit 4.4 running on Ruby 1.9.3, the standard Ruby interpreter. And we use GCodeR and HamPy for constraint solving. And we support the most 10 popular components in Metasploit. Metasploit has a lot of components, and we support, due to the time limit, we support the 10 first popular ones, and we symbolize the APIs in those components. And these components cover 548 attack scripts in Metasploit. So we evaluate Metasymploit from three perspectives. We test the coverage of our symbolic engine. We also test the effectiveness of our rules, our snort rules generated by Metasymploit, launching a real Metasploit attacks. And we also compare our rules with the official snort rules, and we have some interesting findings, actually. So first, for the coverage testing, we test all 548 attack scripts in our symbolic engine. And on average, it takes less than 1 minute to analyze and generate signatures for each script. And overall, we have 93% automatically analyzed, but we also have 4% require some manual effort. We also have 3% that we currently cannot support it. So for the 4% effort, require manual effort, basically these are some kind of symbolic loop and also some external library call. So we observe cases that our constraint solver cannot decide how many runs the loop of with some symbolic conditions should run. So in most cases, actually, the loop process some pure symbolic string with a symbolic length. So in such case, so no matter how many runs the loop is, the processing result is still a pure symbolic string. So in such case, we just override them, we just rewrite those code and to skip those loops. And in the paper, we actually mentioned several other cases about symbolic loops. Maybe you can take a look at the paper. And for the external library call, basically these are some scripts that call some APIs that we are not covered for those symbolic version. So currently, we just manually symbolize them. And later, we will support all Metasploit components to cover all these APIs. And for the 3% that we cannot support, basically, one biggest one is the obfuscation. So we observe that case is that not only the shellcode, but the entire payload is obfuscated. So in such case, signature-based approach may not be very useful. So we may require some, let's say, behavior-based approach to do that. And we also have some multi-threading cases, but very rare. So we decide to support these in future. And we also evaluate the effectiveness of our rules to test whether they can capture Metasploit attacks. So we collect 45 Metasploit attacks targeting 45 vulnerable applications from the exploitdb.com. And yeah, we set up all these kind of testing environments with several virtual machines and install every vulnerable applications for to test to analyze every script. So it looks like so you can see this is a very time-consuming process. And we do have some interesting findings. So exploitdb.com collects a lot of attack scripts, but very few of them provide corresponding vulnerable applications. The reason is many of them are commercial applications, and so even if you can download it, but it may require some license to install it. So all of these issues cause the difficulty of analyzing attack scripts. This is also showing the kind of the practical value of Metasymploit because we do not require testing environment or those vulnerable applications. And to go back to the test, the evaluation, the result shows that all attack payloads sent from these attack Metasploit attack scripts are captured by our rules generated by Metasymploit. And we also tested our rules using some normal daily network traffic in our CS labs for 2 months, and no benign packets are mistakenly caught. So the result looks very good, but actually it is expected. By design, if sufficient patterns are extracted and further refined, the signature can achieve zero false positive, as the signatures are very specific to Metasploit scripts. In practice, we also have some threshold to check whether the extracted patterns are sufficient enough. If the size of the patterns are too small or too short, Metasymploit will raise a warning to tell the security analyst that we have low confidence on some signatures, which may require more investigation. And we also compare our rules with official SNORR rules and for these 45 attack scripts. And it is a little surprising that only 22 out of 45 scripts have corresponding official SNORR rules based on CVE matching. And the rest, 23, are not covered. So we're thinking maybe these attack scripts are not critical enough for SNORR team to have this kind of rules, or maybe some vulnerable applications are not popular enough. But we think that as more and more attack scripts are developed, this kind of incomplete coverage can be a potential issue. And for those 22 covered ones, we have 53 rules generated by Metasymploit, and we find 50 rules from the official SNORR rule set. Note that one attack script may have multiple rules covering different attack payloads, and one vulnerabilities may also have multiple rules with different attack patterns targeting the same vulnerability. So we find that we have 10 rules share the same content byte pattern or regex pattern with the official SNORR rules, and we also find that there are 11 official rules whose regex pattern matches our 35 byte patterns. It is reasonable because our rules are more specific and the official rules are more generic, and those regex patterns are actually generalized by human experts. And we also find some interesting thing that some rules are not shared with each other because those official rules are more generic, covering various attack patterns. And many Metasploit attack scripts implement one attack pattern in their script, so we may not cover all of these attack patterns. And we also run those official snort rules in our snort to test whether they can catch Metasploit attack. And interestingly, we find three rules cannot capture Metasploit attacks. Basically, we find some regex patterns in these rules are too strict to match Metasploit payload, and we have reported this to the mail list of the snort signature. So from this, we can see that our rules can complement the official snort rules. And remember, our rules are automatically generated, so we can save a lot of human efforts. Yeah, and we do have some updates. We checked the latest one, actually the one last month, and we find that all the deficient rules identified by us are complemented with more rules to cover Metasploit exploits. And we also find that recent rules cover more public exploit resources, including Matterpreter. Matterpreter is one of the famous shellcode in Metasploit, which can bypass or evade antivirus. And we also find several new rule files introduced, for example, exploit kit and malware tools. So looks like the community pays more attention to these public exploit resources and attack tools now, which is a very good sign. And one concern of our signature is our signatures are very specific to each attack script. When more and more attack scripts are developed, more and more signatures will be generated. But actually, our signatures have different focus from the official, let's say, snort signatures. We consider two major scenarios of using our signatures. First is, as our signatures can be quickly generated, they can be used as first aid for zero-day vulnerabilities when the corresponding patches are not available. After the vulnerabilities are patched, our rules can be removed. And as we provide those semantic context information in the signature, security analysts only need to deploy the signatures that are related to their system based on checking our pattern context. So there's no need to load all signatures into the IDS. And actually, we do have some limitations inherited from the classical symbolic execution. As I mentioned, we may have some problems for a symbolic loop, and we may have problems for the path explosion. And for our constraint solvers, there may be some very complicated constraints that cannot be solved. So in the paper, we mentioned several related work and possible approaches to address these limitations in symbolic execution, and we plan to explore them in future work. And we also envision possible ways that attackers may do to bypass our Metasploit defense mechanism. For example, attackers may modify the script to create script variants without releasing them, so we cannot get them. However, we feel that it is non-trivial to find a new vulnerability patterns because attack payloads are carefully crafted, even if a single byte change may fail the attack. So this is non-trivial. And attackers may also inject junk code or directly hit the limitation of symbolic execution. However, it is also kind of non-trivial because now you're introducing more noise into the attack launching process, but you still need to ensure that exploits still work. This usually takes time. And attackers may also obfuscate script, like in some underground tool like the black hole exploit kit. In practice, although we know that deobfuscation is very difficult, but we do find some possible ways that can automatically deobfuscate these scripts. So once these scripts are deobfuscated, we can symbolically analyze them. But no matter what, we raise the bar, we slow down the quick development or quick deployment of these new attacks, so we gain more time for the defense side to develop and apply patches. And there are a lot of related work about this signature generation, most focused on WORM and vulnerability. And there are also a lot of, as symbolic execution is now widely used for security purposes. And as we focus on attack script, which is a new type of attack tool, so in the paper, we mentioned a lot of details or comparisons or difference between our approach and the previous ones. And actually, we do hope we can have collaborations with many security vendors who may like Metasploit or who may rely on Metasploit to make money. So I decided to mention this. So no offense, we're not blaming Metasploit. Metasploit is very awesome, and it helps us publish this paper, so we like it. But we do feel public Explorer resources should not be misused. So we suggest that when you publish a new exploit, attach your IDS rules with it to avoid bad guys taking advantage of your good contribution. So with that, I'll be happy to take any questions. Thank you. Yeah.
Well, let's have our next speaker come up. Question?
Yeah. No. I hadn't had a chance to read the entire paper, but had you considered the possibility of Metasemploit putting together rules in combination? So if there were a certain set of rules that all met a certain pattern, typically Metasemploit would generate individual scripts for each of the situations. Yeah. But for the purposes of scalability or performance, you might compile them into a single script.
Right. Actually, we do consider this possibility. So this may require some kind of automatic regex pattern based on this by generalizing those content byte pattern. So there are some work talking about those generating regular expression based on those work, right? So yeah, we're actually exploring this possibility to kind of, you know, consolidate, aggregate all these, you know, specific patterns. Yeah, thanks.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Let me ask you one more while our next speaker is getting set up.
Sure.
So it seems like this is fascinating work, and it and you've been analyzing exploit toolkits that are not built by the bad guys. You could imagine a next step for this direction of work could be to try to apply your techniques to exploit kits that are written by the bad guys. How far off do you think we are from getting that? Does that seem achievable? Does that seem, wow, that's really hard? What are the key challenges?
Yeah, actually, we do observe several research work actually investigating those real underground kind of attack tools. And so currently, due to the high cost and, you know, some legal concern, we will not touch that yet. So but we think it is possible. And but the major difficulty is basically the obfuscation in those the underground tools. And sometimes it may be difficult to deobfuscate them, but for example, the black hole exploit kit, that one is used the IOM cube encoder to encode their PHP scripts. And there is some kind of IDZender deobfuscator that can be used to deobfuscate these scripts. So we try to explore if it is possible. So if we can deobfuscate those scripts, then we can get the original version of those PHP scripts. And then based on that, we can symbolically analyze them. And we can get some very interesting result from that, which can be very similar to what I have now. Yeah, thanks.
Hi, David.
Yeah.
May I ask another?
Yeah, sure.
My name is Shuo Chen, Microsoft Research.
Hi.
And I think my question is related to David's question,
okay.
But more specific. I wonder how much is your symbolic execution is based on very specific knowledge about, for example, a particular version of Metasploit?
Oh yeah, so we do have a kind of a knowledge base, capture all these APIs in the framework, in the Metasploit framework, and also the language interpreters, this kind of language libraries. Mm-hmm. And we use that one as a knowledge base to guide our symbolic engine to execute, to analyze those behavior APIs or those, for example, payload composing process.
Yes.
And and I do feel because these kind of APIs are kind of stable because they need to compatible with all these various attack scripts. So this is actually a one-time effort. We build up this system.
Okay.
And after we build this, we can use it for maybe a very long time because these are stable APIs for that.
Yeah. But I think the assumption is you assume the Metasploit authors are not intentionally trying to do something which is difficult to recognize,
oh,
right?
Okay, so let me try to understand. So you mean if they intentionally do something bad, we may not get those information, or is that your question?
Yes, because in general, I think symbolic execution in general can be very, very hard. So
yeah,
I think if you want to do it, you hope that the code generator is somehow cooperating with you rather than being a malicious author. Right?
Yeah, actually, I mentioned in the slide, so yeah, it is possible that attacker may, you know, directly hit the limitation of symbolic execution. For example, if they write new attack script, they may just introduce a bunch of symbolic loop or introduce some kind of nonlinear constraints there. So makes our symbolic execution cannot work.
It is
possible. It is really possible.
Yeah.
And currently, we didn't consider those details.
Yeah.
But actually, we feel that, first of all, it is non-trivial to introduce those kind of things. That may slow down the quick development of a new attack.
Okay.
So this is actually the point that we want to slow down them, and we can gain time for our defense side to apply new patches.
Yeah.
This is one way to do
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.